What's up, Who Dat Nation, and thanks for joining us for part three of our three-part series with ESPN Radio's Matt Moscona. Earlier in part one, we got to know Matt. In part two, we talked LSU. And now in part three, we get into some Pelicans and Saints talk. So get ready and enjoy the ride. What's up, Who Dat Nation, and welcome to the Dome Patrol United Saints Podcast.
So, I'm glad, you know, the broadcast in 100.3, because now it gives me something to listen to. But, I'm curious how that's going for you, and has there been an increase in any kind of, because I know it's been hard to get Pelicans traction here. You know, the franchise hasn't, overall, we haven't been that great. But getting a guy like Zion this year, curious how that's been. Has that increased any engagement? Because I know how hard it is. I mean, look, I've had season tickets since they came back for Katrina, but I'm a diehard. I never liked basketball before, but I got tickets back then because I felt like, well, I owe it to the franchise. They're coming back after Katrina, and it just kind of hooked me. But I know it's hard. It's hard for a lot of people down here.
Well, I think the NBA has this great benefit to it. Of all the major professional sports leagues, the NBA is by far the youngest of the median age of its average fan. So the NBA is going to age up. So 20 years ago, 30 years ago, Major League Baseball was America's pastime. Well, Major League Baseball made a critical mistake, especially post-strike and then the steroid era came. And then everybody was already in love with football, but that's when football really became our obsession, as our national obsession. I mean, the NFL, it's so funny because here everyone is so college football centric in the Southeast, but this is the only region of the country where that's the case. It's not to say people don't love college football elsewhere, but America's obsession is the NFL. When you have, 18 million viewers on average on Sunday Night Football, it's just an absurdity.
Especially today's TV numbers, right? The NFL is still the king. It's crazy.
It's an absolute absurdity. But the NFL, if the NFL isn't careful, it's going to make the same critical mistake that Major League Baseball did, and then it's just aging up. Like, the Major League Baseball is getting older, like golf is getting older, and they're not attracting a younger fan. And the NFL is in danger of doing the same thing. The league that is positioned most to grow is the NBA because they have the youngest median age. Young people love the NBA. And it's all demographics. It's white kids, it's black kids, it's rich, it's poor. It doesn't matter. Like, kids love LeBron and they love Luka. And they'll put, a Zion poster on their wall, and they'll go and trading cards are coming back now. And it's all NBA because kids are really into NBA now. They want sneakers. And it's just like the NBA is poised. My point, the growth curve of the NBA, you can see it over the next 20 years. It's going to be the thing that scales the most of the major professional sports. NBA and esports are the two that are going to scale the most because they're where the youngest people have the most passion. And those young people that are 15 in 10 years, 15 years are going to be 25, 30, and they're going to be young professionals with disposable income. And that's going to be the thing that they've loved for 20 years. So, like, I don't think there's any doubt the NBA, if New Orleans can hold on, and especially, God, if they can just win something. Like,
right.
It's,
yeah.
It's like,
tell me.
God, right.
Right?
Like LSU baseball. People here don't love baseball. If they love baseball, the Zephyrs and Baby Cakes would have hit. If they love baseball, Major League Baseball TV ratings would crush. They love LSU baseball because LSU baseball wins and has won for 30 years.
Right.
Like that, if the Pelicans can just win something,
start winning.
You will set the same thing we talked about the Saints a little bit.
Look at the attendance when Zion was drafted. I mean, just look at how many people showed up.
Yes.
Just the idea of winning, what it did for him. And then,
it was real.
Hey man, do y'all remember the playoffs in 08?
Dude, I dressed up as a Hornet for game 7 against the Spurs. I painted my head, Teal put bug eye glasses. And like,
you got a picture of that, Jason?
Yes, I do have.
Send me that picture.
But what's wild is that I remember for that series, the home team won every game by like 20 points on the game 7. Oh, we're going to win by 20 and we're going to move it on. And we just got pop of it. I mean, it was so disappointing.
That was my first year with the – I got hired in 07.
Okay.
And that was my first year with them. So that was unbelievable.
So you remember.
Of course, this is the greatest job in the world.
Everybody had Hornet fever, man. Like – They beat Dallas. They beat Dallas. They go on to the conference semis against the Spurs. It's like, man, you play like Black Eyed Peas. I'm a bee, and everybody's got their jersey. And it was Crescent City Connection. It was awesome. Even Baton Rouge, man, we had game watch at parties at Pluckers in Baton Rouge for the Hornets. Like, it's if they can just win something, like you will set the hook and. Golly, and it could absolutely work, man.
It is kind of wild that we've had Chris Paul and Anthony Davis, and now we got – and, like, just we definitely have not won enough with those two guys.
Well, they took the first step toward winning, what, last week when they gave Hold on, Jeffrey's walk.
Not that I want to turn this conversation into basketball, but Chris and Anthony haven't won anywhere else either. So what's up?
But Chris is good enough to win a title, and he hasn't. Anthony definitely has not either. But we have those two guys, and we have nothing to show for it.
I know. I get your point. I just wanted.
It's fair. Corey, it's fair, man. I mean, it's a good point. But the game has also changed, and you wonder like how different it would have been for Chris Paul if the Lakers trade had gone through, right? And he'd gone to LA and be part of Kobe.
Oh yeah.
You know, it would have been a different story for him. But
I tell you what sucks for the Pelicans now is the fact that Luka is now in our division. I hate the fact that Luka's in our division.
He's so good.
He's unreal. It's like we got Zion. Yeah, they have Luka.
Why are we talking about the Pelicans?
I'm going to use this as a segue in the interest of time because I know Matt, we've kept you probably longer than you probably planned on being here. But
so good. Tazarek Rise.
All right, I'm going to keep pouring.
Any great local retailer, you can find Tazarek Rye.
Don't you love hanging out at the Stone Patrol Bar?
Awarded rye whiskey ever, Tazarek Rye.
There it is. All right. That's 10%, guys. We got that.
Y'all remember, didn't we get T-Bob in trouble? Didn't T-Bob stay longer than he
– T-Bob, but T-Bob talked about Game of Thrones more than he did the Saints when we were on, I think.
You had T-Bob on this thing?
Yeah. We had him on before he got the – when we were still on in New Orleans.
Yeah.
At least he's a big Pelican fan, so I appreciate him trying to spread – the Pelicans.
Matt, are
fandom.
You a Pelicans fan? I mean,
okay. Let me explain this. T-Bob might be the Pelicans fan on air. My interest. All right, let me explain this. Okay. All right, here's my analogy. Do you know the guy who this year at LSU football games was at all the games and he had like the championship belt and he'd stand up on the wall and he'd dance and everything. That guy, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
That's T-Bob. Hold on. Is that guy any better of a fan than the guy who's had 50-yard line season tickets for 30 years?
Oh, this debate.
Every bleeping game and bleeds his team, but he doesn't show up in a purple suit with a championship belt just begging to get on TV?
I got to go with Team T-Bob because I'm that guy.
You're a stinking loser. I'm going to tell you something. I hate fanboys. I don't do fanboys because here's why. I'm going to tell you why. Because if you're there.
But Jason's you.
If you're Whistle Monster.
Oh, I'm not that.
If you're Moses, if you're the guy who goes to the game with the intent of trying to get on TV, then you're not there for the team. You're there to bring attention to yourself.
Okay.
I'm not good with that.
Well, then, let me set the record straight. I'm not that guy who's trying to get on TV. but I'm the guy who cares. I'm the guy who cares, but he's not buying the tickets. But he's
hold on. Jeff is not, in terms of Pelicans.
Oh, yeah. Jeff, yeah, no. I'm talking Saints. We're talking about Saints. He's brought up Whistle Monster and Moses. We're talking about Saints.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, but you also never had season tickets.
Or anything. He's talking about anything.
Right. Crime Donkey has on a Cubs shirt. Let's bring up who's the idiot who sits in right field and goes like, woo-woo in the Cubs games all those years.
Yeah.
You're not a real Cubs fan. You don't know what I'm talking about.
I don't live in Chicago. I'm happy to go to Chicago.
I don't live in Chicago either. But anyway, but Clipper Daryl. How about this?
Right.
This
no.
This is one we all know. The idiot at the Jets games who wears the fire hat. Fireman.
Yeah.
Oh, right. This guy. Right. Yeah.
This idiot a couple of years ago.
No, you're right.
This idiot has a crossways with the Jets for something. He wanted something, and they're like, no. And he's like, well, I'm not coming to be Fireman Ed anymore. And they're like, okay.
Oh, well, then fuck him at that point.
Somebody else.
So I made my attempt, and I was Hugo the Hornet for Game 7 against the Spurs, and we lost, and that didn't work. So I ended that pretty quickly.
Like the whistle guy for the Vanderbilt baseball game.
Okay, you remember Clipper Daryl a couple of years
ago? Oh, yeah.
Let me interrupt real quick.
Okay, Jeff definitely doesn't know Clipper Daryl.
Hang on, let me interrupt. On the live, I know Clipper Daryl. Debbie said he's talking about most Saints fans, by the way, what you were describing is most Saints fans, she says. And also Vincent Burke, did I make it to the live one? Yes, you did, Vincent. Welcome. Vincent is one of our listeners from Japan. No. Yeah, wait. Vincent said.
That's Big Easy Gaijon.
Big Easy Gaijon. That's right. Sorry, I thought Vincent Burke is Big Easy Gaijon.
It's almost like we've had a podcast for 10 years, but not really.
Well, it's been a while since we've gone live because of COVID-19. I want to say Vincent Burke is Big Easy Gaijon.
What's Corny doing?
Which is why he's here at 11:20 our time, is because it's a morning for him. This is his morning show.
Yeah. So the point is, I'm the guy who on opening night last year against San Antonio is living and dying on every possession. But I also recognize that when I go on air, my duty is to my audience to do a show that they're going to want to listen to the most. So I have the biggest audience with the most sponsor engagement, et cetera. So regardless of what I want to talk about or hear about, isn't always what I'll talk about on the air. Like, I love MMA. I am a huge MMA fan.
Oh God, I could not listen to. If you talked about MMA, I would turn you off.
And that's why, Matt.
I'd listen, Matt.
So I need to find angles. Like, if I could get Daniel Cormier on the show, who's from Lafayette, and I could talk about the Lafayette guy, who was an Olympic wrestler, who's made it big in MMA and is a two-division champion, and did this really funny like cupcake pizza dance video. Like, I can do that and make it relevant. But like that. That's the difference.
Yeah. Go ahead. It's funny because I don't watch MMA, but I know who you're talking about because he's good. Daniel Cormier. Yeah.
He's also retired.
Yes.
He was good.
Well, he lost last Saturday.
Two Saturdays ago. Yeah, and retired.
And then retired. Well, he retired after his last fight too, and then he came back to fight another one, probably just to get a payday because he looked really fat. If you come out of retirement to fight again, you show up fat. You're just in it for the payday.
If you can get paid,
Tyson's doing a money grab, or is Mike what Mike Tyson's doing for the love
he's,
of the
he's
sport?
Pretty ripped.
I think.
He could use the money.
Well, and
people
I asked
pay for
because,
Mike Tyson.
Now hold on, but I think because do you recall seeing there was an interview with him? I don't know how long ago, but it was recent. Where I mean, he was in tears talking about if I'm not fighting, if I'm not boxing, I'm irrelevant. I'm not. Sure. I don't know who I am anymore. And I really do believe that he will fight until he cannot fight anymore for the love of the game, not for the money.
There's going to be a lot of money.
I don't think money's the only driving factor. Come on, Jeff, don't be a sucker. The fat guy returning to the sport is doing it for the money only. I think Mike Tyson wants to fight.
Fighters don't know anything else. Fighters don't know anything other than like you have to think about this. Normal humans are not going to go into a small area and beat the shit out of another person for no other reason than sport.
I'm gonna quickly transition us into the Saints. I want to do a Saints talk here. We've kind of touched on them in a little bit on the edge, but I want to dive really deep into this. First thing is, Matt, you stole one of our jokes, and that's kind of what started this relationship.
I don't think he stole it.
I don't think he stole it. I think we both had the same joke.
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. It's a joke. Come on.
But I like the fact that we both had the joke.
Right. Well, that's what kind of we were laughing at. We were like, he's doing the Murray present thing.
Present.
Because clearly he's not. He's a flight of the Conchords. But he spells it correctly, apparently.
Yeah, you didn't mean you. Like, I forgot. Yeah, like. And you don't know Flight of the Conchords, so you're not a real fan.
No, right. I'm the Conchords guy.
Jason's the fan.
I'm the Conchords guy. When the Conchords show first came out on HBO, I watched it from the get-go. I was the fan. So when we got a guy named Murray, I'm like, when he says Murray, we should say present. But I like the fact – I heard it on your show too, and I'm like, you didn't copy it from us, but I like the fact that I'm not the only one that had Murray present. Like, that to me, like, that's just funny to me. So I like
you should continue to do it, and we should work together to make this a
thing. Oh, God, Jeff.
And all of South Louisiana and Saints
And Matt's got a bunch of, like, little things like that. Like, I love the Todd Peterson. Like, that's my favorite.
So
that's
Todd Peterson.
The idea that you would think I would steal this from you is patently absurd, because I'm like the king of the inane drop, like the Todd Peterson, the George Truly, hey Twitter world. Have y'all heard that, like, the OJ thing? Have y'all seen OJ on Twitter?
It's insane that OJ is on fucking Twitter. It's
OJ doesn't get that you can write words on Twitter. Like, he only does videos, and every video starts, "Hey, Twitter world, it's me, yours truly." And
I'm a murderer.
For those that haven't seen it, he says it, he blurs his words together so it sounds like George Truly. And there have been Bills fans that have gone and gotten custom 32 Bills jerseys with George Truly. Like that. When I see OJ post on Twitter, I don't ever watch the video. I just go straight to the comments.
Yeah.
Because that's a guilty pleasure. If, trust me, if you're listening or watching right now and you don't have a Twitter, get a Twitter just to follow OJ so when he posts, you can read the comments.
Yeah, it's wild.
Right. Well, that's why we're kindred spirits, the drop. I mean, that's our type of humor. So here's the question for everybody. What do you expect to see from Sean Payton's play calling this year? All things considered, and I'm talking about, does Drew's age and arm play a part in that? Kamara and Murray?
Present.
Emmanuel Sanders edition?
I would almost kind of say, as a kind of a big picture, the Saints are one of the most loaded teams in the NFL. How do they not win it all? I mean, we've found a way to do it the last couple of years. How do we not? It just seems like we're – they need to win the Super. I mean, we are the best team. Like, what is the one question mark that we could have that would prevent us?
Injuries.
Yeah, I mean, you could always say injuries, though. But you know, I mean, we have fucking Vinovich. We had the miracle. We had the shitty playoff game last year. Like, we should have. It's crazy to me that Drew Brees and Sean Payton only have one Super Bowl. And at this point, it's like I don't expect Brees to. I mean, he might come back, but I just saw. I mean, he's gone with the shaved head look. He's accepted his fate.
Drew was gone, man. He was telling people at the Pro Bowl he was done. I don't know what caused his about face. I'm glad. I want to see him win another one. I'd love to see the walk off like Elway got.
Yeah.
But there is no hole on this team. They've got a great offensive line that they've invested in the draft. They've got a Hall of Fame quarterback. You've got a power back. You've got a great versatile back. You've got the best receiver in the NFL. You finally got some depth at that position. You know, you've invested in a tight end, both in free agency and the draft. Your defensive line is sick. The linebacking core was maybe a question because of the injuries and Klein leaving. But, man, Vaughn, by all accounts, sounds like he's looking awesome, and Anzalone's healthy, and Robert.
And we got rid of what's his name today. You know, we just cut him. Nigel.
The fact that you cut Nigel Bradham tells you that they're really excited about the young guys. And I mean, obviously, you got one of the best young corners in the league. You're set at safety. You brought in a veteran guy. And same vein as Sean did in 09. You know, bringing in Darren Sharper, who's a deplorable human being, but was so key to that team. You know. Like, there aren't any holes. You got a great place kicker. You got a great punter. You got a great long snap. You got fucking everything on this team.
Well, wait, all-pro returner.
The thing is, like, yes, why it's – because it's really hard, and there's a degree of randomness to a one-and-done thing. If you want to play the best of seven, the Saints would probably have five Super Bowls. But, you know, it's a one-and-done, and if you have a bad case of diarrhea that day and you don't feel your best, you could lose and your season's done. It's just –
So the biggest risk is health and officiating to this team.
Yeah,
it's not any player, position, or coach.
Look, I was there in the dome for the football, and it's brutal. But the reality is, man, Saints are better than the Rams, and they should have run out the fucking building that day. And that first defensive possession when they turned Goff over, it was the loudest I've ever heard that building. Literally. Like, I've literally been to a bajillion games. I've never heard it that loud. I mean, the fact that they had their opportunities to get up and didn't, the fact that they had the ball first in overtime and didn't score, like, fuck, man. I'm as pissed as anybody about it. The no call was bullshit, and they would have won the game on a walk-off field goal right there. I get it, but that's not the only reason they lost. So you got to be better. If you're going to win the championship, you got to be better. And they weren't. And they weren't that day. And they shit their pants last year against Minnesota. And, you know, go back to 17. People forget they were getting their ass kicked in the first half in 17. They had a hell of a rally to take the lead. But, man, if you show up in the first half, it doesn't come down to that. It's like fans always look to, like, this
one play.
They always look to displace blame. And people get pissed at me when I say that, but they get pissed because they know it's the truth, man. It's like, show your ass up the way you did. But even go back to 09. Do you remember the beginning of the divisional round game against Arizona? It was Hightower who housed that long game against them, bro. And then from there, they turned it on and went. And they torched them. We're like,
so funny. Courtney was sitting right in the row behind me. He's like, how does that effing happen? How does that effing happen?
The Hightower run?
Yeah, the Hightower run. Like, how does – like, we were so pumped up. It was the greatest thing. And, you know, Courtney's –
you remember? They, like
– yeah.
They started 13-0, three-game losing.
I remember, yeah.
And then the playoff game, it's like, as cliche as it is, there's an any given Sunday element to the NFL. And when you get to the playoff, your margin of error gets even smaller. And that's the reality. And the Saints
– that's the beauty.
Down really too much in the playoffs. And I hope that – like, I think that in 2011, that Vernon Davis, if Alex Smith to Vernon Davis doesn't happen, I think they are beating the dog shit out of New York.
100%.
Dog shit out of New England.
100%. 100%.
Super Bowl. That 2011 team is the best Saints team that they've ever had, maybe before last year. But it's like but look, man, the freaking Patriots. The 07 Patriots were 18 as the greatest NFL team ever. And they couldn't block Michael Strahan, and they couldn't protect Tom Brady. Right. And they lose and David Tyree pins a ball against his head.
It's so hard.
Right?
It's so hard, man. It's so hard.
That's why it's hard.
It's so hard.
That's why you should appreciate even more what Brady and Belichick have done, as much as you may all hate them. It's like
it's so hard.
It's so damn impressive to live through this, because we'll never see another quarterback coach go to 9 Super Bowls.
No, impossible. And really, to be just happy, like, the fact that the Saints got the one, like, just think if we didn't get 09, you know, if we had the Peyton Breeze era and you've got no Super Bowls, how great it would be considering the history of the franchise, but how disappointing to not get. Tonight, even just the one, like, I know it's disappointing, like, you know, like, yeah. I know, like, I, you know, as a fan now, you know, having season tickets since, you know, before the Breeze Peyton era, being disappointed, like, man, we, like, Breeze really should have at least three rings, and he's got the one. We should be thankful that he's got the one. Because if he had the one,
Jose Mejia says on a live stream, is that PT gets concussed in 2011. I mean, you talk about the past of Vernon Davis, but at the same time, if PT doesn't get concussed, I mean, anybody can pick out one play and say, if
It's hard, man. Yeah, it's hard.
And that's Vince Burke says the recipe championships always has been a little bit of skill and a little bit of luck. I mean, and the ball has to bounce your way.
You talk about that one. You remember in the NFC Championship game in overtime when Pierre goes with the first down and that they put a helmet on the ball and that ball.
Yeah, and it was right on the right. The ball shifted. It was right on it, and the ball shifted. Yeah.
If that's a fumble, they likely recover it, and we lose the game. I mean, the ifs and buts are everywhere.
Maybe.
What was the tweet today? Somebody a tweet yesterday or today. Somebody was talking about Lance Moore's 2-point conversion or something. They were like, if that was reviewed by the officials today, he would not be granted the 2 points.
I mean, I don't know. I think it was pretty legit, but it was the anniversary.
Today's NFL officials might not.
Well, but I don't know. A lot of this goes back to, hey, the fact that we got the one, we should be thankful that we got the one, even though it's disappointing. You know, we should have two or three, but hey, at least we got, thank God we got the one.
How do you think lack of preseason is going to affect like the first part of the season?
The fact that we don't get to see Jameis Winston kind of like excite us. He's like, oh no, whatever he did in practice, that's kind of it. You hope you have good practices, but there's no quote unquote game experience until game one. I mean, like, I know the last few seasons of the NFL with the lack of practices, the first few weeks have been sloppy. I would anticipate a first month of being sloppy.
So if you talk to any player that's ever played in the NFL, they'll tell you there's three speeds. There's preseason, then it ratchets up for the regular season, then it ratchets up for the playoffs. I'd be concerned if I were the Cincinnati Bengals with Joe Burrow as a rookie and a whole new collection, and you know, Miami with Tua, like, I'd be really worried that game speed is going to be really hard to transition. The Saints, I'm not as worried, except for the rookies, especially guys that you're expecting to be impact guys like Ruiz,
yeah,
and Zach Bond. Like, those two guys you're expecting game one against Tampa, yeah, they're going to play major roles in that game. Yeah. Like, if you're Cesar Ruiz and you end up lined up against somebody on that defensive front, which is impressive.
They're going to attack him for one.
Yeah. And then if you're Zach Bond and now Tom Brady in that offense, you know, I think that's where I would worry about the lack of preseason.
But we've kind of
regular season NFL.
We've kind of talked about that too, that we felt that the Saints kind of did a smart thing with the draft by not drafting as many players because of the COVID situation. You know, what did they have?
Bro, they didn't draft as many players because they don't have roster spots for those guys. Like, if they had
that's another thing too. Well, yeah, and then they had all these players they could have drafted, but they ended up cutting.
Win-win.
Yeah, no,
right? It works in our favor now because you have less guys who have to acclimate.
So it's like, and then the teams with the most players coming back, the most coaches coming back, are probably the ones that are going to be, at least out the gate, have the advantage.
But the Saints historically are not prepared.
Well, no, the Saints are not a quick starting team, but at least with the lack, like, we are one of the more veteran teams. There's a lot of guys coming back. There's only a handful of guys that are coming back. So it should be in their benefit, at least, you know, at the start of the season. It should benefit the Saints, this lack of offense, because it's a veteran team. I mean, we are one of the more loaded veteran teams.
Is a Tom Brady Buccaneers team at a disadvantage relative to the Saints in week one?
Fuck yes.
Because Tom Brady 100%. Has not played for 100%. That team? Does Tom Brady transcend that deficiency? Is he that good?
No, I think the Saints are at a big, and even if there's no fans in the stands, we have a big advantage over them week one. You bring in Brady, you bring in Gronk. Yeah, they're highly regarded players, but it's still a new. They still have to learn playing with their people.
Tom Brady's the greatest quarterback ever. He's 43 years old, and last year had the same quarterback rating as Jameis Winston in a year when he threw 30 interceptions. And the counter argument is always, well, who did he have to throw to? Well, who did he have to throw to his whole damn career in New England? Tom Brady is an old quarterback, and Father Time is undefeated. It gets everybody. Tom Brady isn't what he was 2 years ago or 5 years ago or 10 years ago. And now you're going to talk about, well, he's got Gronk. Okay, he's got Gronk, a guy who the last time we saw him 2 years ago was a shell of the dominant, the most dominant tight end we've ever seen. And now he's going to come back after sitting out a year and just
partying on a boat.
Don't believe it. I love Mike Evans. I think Chris Godwin. I think they got great receivers, and I think they will make a lot of plays and win more games than they did last year. And they are very young on defense. They got a lot of talent on defense, but I think they have young talent on defense. I am glad the Saints get them in week one because I think in November, December, Tampa could be a much better team. Like Atlanta gets Tampa twice – or no, Carolina gets Tampa twice in December.
December.
That sucks. That sucks.
Yeah, well, for them.
But for them, But but
so, all right. So no concern about week one.
I think the Saints are fine.
Get the win. Yeah.
And I get it. Look, hey, look. The last 3 years, the Saints have sucked week one. They got embarrassed. The previous 2 years,
what's up with that?
Needed a plum miracle to win week one against Houston.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I get it, but at the same time, I think they win week one. And I'll be really curious to see what they do against Green Bay, man, at home. Let's see.
I mean, look at everybody. I mean, it seems like Green Bay is like, look, they drafted Jordan Love. Like, they didn't draft the help that Rodgers needed. You know, Rodgers is good, but I feel like as much as he's revered, the guy's only got one Super Bowl. You know, he's only made one Super Bowl.
Same thing about Drew.
But everybody seems to think he's, you know, he's like, oh, Aaron Rodgers is clearly ahead of Drew Brees. You know, a lot of people seem to think that.
Will there be an asterisk next to this year's Super Bowl champion?
Nope. I mean,
even with COVID-19,
some people may think it, but if they can get through a,
I think 31 teams fan bases will put an asterisk. I think one team's fan base won't.
Jeff, do you mean like? Literally in the NFL books or, like, amongst fans?
Amongst fans.
Yeah. I don't think, but I think it depends on
the when the Saints win, you don't think the Falcons fans are going to bring that shit up?
Fuck the Falcons.
Who cares about – nobody cares about the Falcons fans. Come on, Jeff.
I'm just saying.
Are you going to put an asterisk behind whoever wins the NBA Finals and whoever wins – if there's a college football season?
They might. I mean, are you? That's a legitimate question.
Bottom line is, this is the world you live in. Everybody's dealt the same hand. Everybody has to go deal with the same damn circumstances. So you go deal with the same damn circumstances, and the results are what they are. Whoever wins.
I might get an asterisk the whole year.
Here's the thing. Listen, in 1999, the NBA played a strike.
A shortened
season. San Antonio won that. Does anybody put an asterisk next to Tim Duncan?
No.
It's because their first championship came in a strike shortened. Fuck no. Time forgets about it. We all have our own lives and we go about and we forget about stupid shit like that. And the bottom line is 100 years from now, whoever wins the Super Bowl, people are going to see it in the history books and go, oh, look, they won the Super Bowl.
Super Bowl champion.
Yep. And that's what it's going to be.
Yep. This is going to be Breeze riding off into the sunset.
That's what it needs to be, though. It needs to be.
Yeah. I mean,
I think win or lose. I don't know if Drew Brees comes back.
Then a giant asterisk goes next to this thing. It's totally tainted.
Yeah,
that's what I'm worried because it win or lose, I think this is Drew Brees last year.
Yeah, fair thing. If Atlanta wins it, it was a fucking asterisk.
Right. That's why I asked. All right, we're gonna run through our final thoughts. Anybody's got Jason? You got any final thoughts?
I'm very curious to see what the football season looks like. I would like to go to a game in October. I don't anticipate it. I know I'm not going to go in September. I hope the Pelicans hire the right guy. You know, they needed to fire Gentry. I know he didn't agree with it, but he's a nice guy. But he's a Slytherin. He finds his way to be in the league for 30 years, even though he's a bad head coach. I mean, I'm sorry. He's a good assistant. He's a bad head coach.
He's a Slytherin.
He's a Slytherin. He finds
T-Bob's not on.
I guess we need to get him on again. But I don't know. Look, I'm excited for the future of the Pelicans. I'm ready for football season. I know it's kind of taken me a while because COVID is, I don't know, it took me a while, but I think I'm ready.
All right, good.
That's all I got.
Scott, final thought.
Kind of like Jason, I'm ready for football to start. You know, kind of getting into it. Had a couple fantasy drafts already and got a few more to go. So I wanted to thank Matt for coming on. I know I personally appreciate it. I'm a big fan of yours, big fan of your show, and keep up the great work, man.
All right. And Matt, we'll save you for last. Courtney, final thought.
I'm going to take it a step further than y'all two. I'm really excited for the fall. I'm really excited for the weather. I'm excited for the golf majors. I'm excited.
The Masters? The Masters in the fall. That's pretty awesome.
I'm excited for the weekend where we got Saints, the U.S. Open, and NBA playoffs, and then baseball playoffs. Like, we just have a lot of really cool sports shit that's all going to happen at once, and it's never happened at the same time before. I'm excited for that. Matt, thank you for coming on.
My pleasure, man.
All right, Matt, final thoughts.
My final thoughts.
I hope you want to bring up Sazerac Rye first.
Sazerac Rye.
Welcome up now.
We about to touch that. Thank you all for having me, man. Good chat.
Absolutely. All right. And yes, don't forget, everybody, you can listen to Matt Moscona on 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. weekday afternoons. There's a slew of other stations. Rewind it to the beginning of the podcast here.
100.3 in New Orleans.
That's right. And that's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol United podcast. Follow us on Twitter for daily conversation at Dome Patrol US and Dome Patrol UK. Don't forget, we have a huge UK following. Like us on Facebook to watch live broadcasts. Subscribe on YouTube to watch or listen as an alternative to your podcast app. And if you want to listen to us the old-fashioned way, you can go to Dome Patrol Podcast.
.com.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, donkeys.
Y'all be good.
Good night, Houdat Nation.